right. Good morning, everybody. For those online, I'm sorry I caught up talking, and that's my fault. So I'm a minute or two behind, but that's okay. It's good to be able to fellowship, catch up, and see everybody, especially this beautiful day. My goodness gracious! I think we get back to reality tomorrow, everybody here in Vermont. So yeah, but for now it's good, right? So enjoy it while we can. Take advantage of it, get some good vitamin D, soak all this good stuff up while we can, while we have it around us anyway. But it's so good to have all of you here this morning, to be with you this Sunday after Easter, the week after Easter, and to be able to celebrate again. Every week, really, is not is a Resurrection Sunday celebration week. It's not just that one time. It's every single week we come together. We are thanking God for Jesus and for the resurrection of Christ that resurrects us, as we talked about last week. And this week is even more so better because we have another entry in our series called Breaking Bread with Jesus. And so we have another loaf of bread. Yes. All right. So if nobody else is excited about it, I am. That bread last week, where was Julie? She's over in the cafe. Was delicious. Man, that was so good. I got a piece after the fact because I was so busy. But even when I had it after church was over, I was like, man, this is so good with the butter and the jam. Oh, Anyway, so this week, we have another entry into our series. So hopefully we're going to get something out of the living bread, the Word of God. But we also have some really great, I'm sure, banana bread that Shannon has donated this morning. So I'm looking forward to munching on some of that today. We're going to actually have a break so we can go and partake a little bit of that during the break today as well. But before we get there, I want to, as always, thank you for being here and welcome you into Faith Church, whether you're here in person or online. Thank you for making us a part of your Sunday morning here this beautiful April day. If you are new, we'd like to welcome you formally, so make sure you let us know so we can get you a guest bag, and if you're online, we'll get you a free ebook. So just let us know you're there. Don't just hide out. Engage with us today. If you have kids, we'd love for them to be involved too. If you're here in person, we have a great team downstairs that is ready to pour into their lives. They have to do such an awesome job prepping every single week. It's amazing to me as we see them get ready. They have arts and crafts projects and snacks and everything set up in the room. It's just an interactive experience that blows my mind every time how much time and effort goes into that. And so I encourage, if you have kids, that would be great if they could join them down there. If you're online, there's an interactive thing you can do online with us on our Facebook page. You can see the Faith Kids content there and participate in that respect if you're with us virtually today. A few things going on here around Faith. I always want to highlight new and upcoming things. One, I want to celebrate some things. And first, I want to celebrate the cafe had an awesome follow-up event for the knitting and crocheting. Anna Merritt, who is amazing, she did a great job yesterday coming in and helping everyone come together to knit and work on their projects that they had started. And it was great to see everybody in here. And the cafe was awesome to be able to come and connect and grab some coffee and some specialty drinks. So if any time you're available, 7 to 11 Saturday mornings, that is an awesome place to be, especially when the weather's good like it has been the past few days, all right? So I encourage you to check us out each Saturday. By the way, for this month and May, all the proceeds that are collected, minus the cup of coffee, which is about a dollar a cup, anything above a dollar a cup that you donate goes towards helping homeless and addiction affected people in our area, okay, in our community. So as you're donating, as you're coming and grabbing a cup of coffee, and the money you put in is going to go right back in and funneled into people in need in our community in a way that no other place you can go get coffee at can do. It just is impossible. And so I encourage you to not only come and have community, but engage with our community and bless our community through your generosity as you sit around a cup of coffee. I was reminded of this fact as I was in the mall last Monday in Albany, and I went to Starbucks. And I haven't been to Starbucks in a long time. I usually get my coffee here. And so we were out of town. I was like, well, I'll just grab a quick cup. $9 later, I have a cup of coffee. I'm like, this is crazy. $9. I could have done so many other things with $9, but here I was drinking it away. It took like 10 minutes and it was gone, right? So instead of wasting $9 at Dunkin' Donuts or Cumberland or whatever you do, and I know there's cheaper coffee other places, but come and put it here, and it's all that extra money that instead of spending it and going into thin air or into calories that's going to eventually turn into ugly things down the road, donate it here, and it's going to bless somebody, and you get a great organic fresh cup of coffee while you're here. So it's a win-win. I also want to do a big praise and thanks for all those who made last week so awesome. Man, what an event. What a set of events that we had that turned out so well. We had over 100 here for the Easter egg hunt last Saturday. What a great time that was. Most of those were outside of our church, so it was great to make some new connections. Then we had over 90 here last Sunday for Resurrection Day. Amazing to see so many friends and family from in and out of town, and connections being again continued to be made. And thank you all for coming and making that such an awesome day, one of our highest Easters ever here at Faith. And so it was amazing to see as God continues to work in us. We need to be in prayer, as so many that were here last week are gone now because they're on vacation, right? So it's spring break, so everybody's trying to get out of town while you can, even though the weather has been just as good here as anywhere in the world, I would imagine, this past week. But this coming week, maybe not so much. So if you're on vacation watching us online, thank you for keeping up with us. We can't wait till you're back with us in person. We'll keep your seat warm, all right? Awesome. A couple other things I want you to be aware of. One, that if you haven't already, fill out your April Faith Life goals on the door, that you make sure you're taking care of those. If you haven't done that, this is a good time to do it, all right? So maybe you missed a couple of months. Here's the time to catch up. I'm a guilty party. I tell everybody to do this, and I forget to do it, all right? So yesterday, I actually filled my Faith Life goal out for April and stuck it on the door. And so make sure you're doing that, as every one you do is another entry into a free gift at the end of the year. It was so cool to hear the feedback from those gifts. John and Jen won those one of those gifts last year, and they got to Florida to see a couple of spring games because of Faith Life goals. All right, so it's amazing what you can do when you put your mind to things, and not only see effective change in your life, whether it be over diet, nutrition, health, spiritual stuff, but also you get a little prize at the end. Hey, you can't beat that. So I encourage you, fill them out before you leave here today, and then at the end of April we'll take them down, put them in the container, and keep on moving each month through after that as we keep going throughout the year. A couple more things. Women's clothing swap is coming up April 29th from 9 to noon, all right? So we got a couple of weeks for this. I'm not fully aware of all the details on this because I'm not in charge of this. Jen Van Cleve is, all right? So if you happen to see her or you messenger, she can get you the information. If you want more information online, email us. We'll get you connected with that as the women are looking to kind of change up some things for spring and get rid of some old stuff. And if you want to clean out your house and to be able to try out some new clothes, this is a great way to do both of those things. And then whatever you don't use, we could donate to the clothing shed and be a blessing there too. So it's a win-win-win, all right? So I encourage you Saturday, April 29th from 9 to noon right here to participate in that event as well. All right, two more quick things. One, there's a library here at Faith, if you didn't realize. We're building it up slowly but surely. So in the cafe, there's a little bookshelf that is getting built up over time. And there were some great ideas given to me by some folks, particularly Anna and Chris, as they were saying, hey, we really would love to have some pretty cool books in here. And they said, how about we do this, that if you have a book that's impacted your faith life, bring it in. And then while you bring it in, write a little note about why it changed your life or how it impacted you, and then put it on the shelf. I thought that was a great idea, right? So we're going to do it. So that's what I encourage you to do. So bring that in. It's going to be something that people can take home and read, not only your little inspirational note, but again, the book that changed your life, even in a small way. And so I encourage you to do that. Bring them in anytime you can over the next couple of weeks, and you can place them right there on the bookshelf if you're physically in our space inside the cafe, and bless somebody else as you've been blessed by that, all right? Also, Serve Team Sundays, a couple of things that we want to highlight here, April 30th and May 7th. All right, last one, April 30th and May 7th. If you have served on a team here at church, or if you haven't and need to get plugged in, these are the 2 days that we're going to do this, all right? Our goal here at Faith is to have every single person serving somebody somewhere within the church, all right? That may be a Sunday morning, that may be praying for people, that may be out in the community doing things, that may be running the cafe on Saturdays, whatever it is, engaged in some way, because what happens when you're serving with people is you start to sharpen each other up, right? The more you're around other believers, we talked about this before, the more you begin to see and follow Jesus in a real impactful way, more so than you do if you're just sitting around and having a cup of coffee. You're actually serving and doing life together, and that's a really important tool of what we use here at Faith to see Christ transform us to be more like Him. So April 30th and May 7th, 2 days, 2 Sundays that we're going to make sure everybody's connected, because we're going to launch into a new thing over the summer as we get to start to do some new projects around the church, and we want to make sure everybody's engaged and involved somewhere on some level. So just keep that in the back of your mind as we get ready to move to that in the next couple of weeks. Last thing we want to highlight before we get into the message this morning is giving. If you're in need, we love to be able to help you out. Make sure you get up with us. It's faithchurchvt.com. You'll see the information for all our contact on the bottom of that webpage. Reach out to us whatever way is comfortable for you, and we love to meet whatever it is, material need, physical need, emotional, spiritual, whatever you got going on, let us know. We want to help you in that. If you love to give this morning, there's plenty of ways to do that. You can do that online, or you can do it physically in person with the gift baskets up front or in the back. If you're doing online, you can go to our website and press the give button, or you can text to give right there on your phone any time of the week or right now by texting 84321, and then you'll text the dollar amount, and it will go right into our general fund here at church. So super easy to be able to do that. So thank you so much for doing that and for being generous. Speaking of giving, this new series that we're launching into that we started last week, Breaking Bread with Jesus, that was pretty fun last week, right? Did everybody at least get a sample of the bread? All right, I hope so, because it was so good. So this week we're going to do this again. Each week we're looking at not only to share a great piece of bread together, but to look at the life of Jesus and see where bread plays an important role in his life and how it shapes the people around him as they talk about it, right? So we mentioned that when we're having bread, there's more than meets the eye in that moment, isn't there? That bread does something different. It's delicious looking, and it's fantastic, and it's amazing, and it's nearly a part of everything we do or eat in our diet these days in America especially, but it's also symbolic. Because when you travel to friends and family's homes, whether you sit around a table and you eat and share a meal and you break bread together, that is a mark of hospitality. It's a mark of generosity. There's something happening in that moment that goes beyond just eating food. It's sharing a blessing over the food together. The breaking of the bread is a symbol of something much deeper than what we might imagine when we're doing it at the time. And Jesus understood this better than anybody. Right? So every time he had an opportunity and he was sitting down and eating a meal, he would always take this moment to not just eat together, but to get into life together, to share moments together, to really bring some incredible spiritual truth together and transform lives and not just fill bellies. So over the next few weeks, that's what we're going to do. We're going to look at these key bread-breaking moments in the life of Jesus, and we're going to allow them to draw us deeper into how we share and experience and grow to be like Christ, all right? So I want to thank Shannon again for getting this awesome banana bread ready for us this morning. We're going to partake of it here in just a sec as we get ready to break, all right? So I know you're already ready for me to talk about something different. So we're going to get in the message, but before we do, I want us to eat this bread together, and I want us to share some fellowship time together, and I want us to discuss a question as we're doing that. And this should be a fun one, as I think everybody will have a good answer for this. What's one of the best foods you've ever eaten? All right, one of the best foods. Not the best. You don't have to narrow it down to like the best thing ever, but just one of the best foods you've ever eaten, all right? That should be really easy, all right? Nice and easy. So we're going to take a five-minute break. Make sure you catch up. The bread's on the table. Go ahead and slice it up. Grab some, eat some, get some coffee, ask and answer. We'll be back here in 5 minutes. Thank you, guys. Hey, Dave, while you're standing up, can you do me a favor? Can you grab the mic and walk around? Yeah. I'm sorry, I was trying to catch you before you got all the way down. Let me treat you like my wife treats you. Go ahead and sit all the way back down and then wait till you're nice and comfortable. Then I'll tell you. He's going to unmute it. There we go. There we go. All right. Thank you so much. I totally forgot. All right. Out of practice. All right. Here we go.
Oysters.
Oysters. Oysters is your favorite. Best food you've ever eaten. Any particular oyster, like one that's, or a place you had
as
it?
As fresh as possible.
As fresh as possible. All right. Awesome. Oysters. That's a great start. Who else? What's the best food you've ever eaten? Phil's got one for us. Oh, there we go. Steve's got one there.
Locally, I'm a big fan of mac and cheese, so the smoked Gouda mac and cheese they had at Madison's, that they don't have anymore.
Oh, that sounds amazing. Smoked Gouda mac and cheese. Holy smokes. All right. Phil's in the back. That's right. Keep them working. You didn't work enough yesterday, right, Dave? Just go ahead.
I think the thing I have a hankering from the UK the most is probably my mum's liver and onions.
Liver and onions, yeah. I can't share that one, but all right.
Probably my favorite is Indian butter chicken, but made by this one woman I knew. Her name was Sharon, but Sharon's butter chicken was craveable. You just want more of it all the time.
Nice. Awesome. Yeah, right? There we go.
Lobster fettuccine alfredo from Mommy Leone's in New York City, which is
no longer open.
I think it's maybe some nostalgia playing in here, like, oh, I can't have it anymore, so it was really good.
The chicken piccata from Giuseppe's is excellent. All their food's excellent.
Nice. All right. I've never eaten there. That sounds amazing. Awesome. Even better.
Hello. I loved my mom's homemade lasagna.
Mm.
Everything from scratch.
Nice. Awesome. Love a good lasagna. All right. Those are great. Anybody else? Some of the best foods? One of. Doesn't have to be the, just one of the best foods you've ever had. Bless you.
My wife makes an amazing prime rib.
Prime rib. Prime rib is so good. We should do a series about prime rib and Jesus. can we work that in somewhere? All right. Anybody else? Those are all great. Here we go. Kim's got one in the back.
This was sushi.
Oh, sushi. All types of sushi, Elsa? Any kind.
Just a tenderloin of venison with a mushroom sauce. Just sticks in my mind forever.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good. Awesome.
Also getting a barbecue rib season, too. Yeah.
It really doesn't matter what the food is, it's the company that you have it well.
Hey, awesome. I love that. That's true. Very good. Fantastic. All right. That's why all the commercials with food always have people gathered around, right? All right. Anybody else?
What's your favorite, Walt?
Sharon's grandmother catching her squash casserole.
Oh, yeah, squash casserole.
Sharon can make it, but it's not as good as Gran's.
Guys, I noticed that Sharon's not here today.
I noticed that Phil left out squash from his liver and onions.
All right. Anybody else? Those are good? Fantastic. All right. Jaden, turn me down just a bit when you get a second, because I'm ringing back here. So I really love food. Matter of fact, that was so appropriate. Me and Walt were and Brian, we were standing around the back here for a few minutes. What should have only been a two-minute conversation about good fish turned into about a 15-minute conversation about a whole lot of different things, but fish-related, all right? So this really talks about or speaks to me of how good food is and how much I love food. So it was really hard to narrow this down this week as I was thinking about this question. As I was reflecting on it, man, I was like, man, I don't know. I've had some the best ribs I've ever had was in Kansas City, Missouri. Those were the, I've eaten ribs in Memphis, I've eaten them in St. Louis, I've eaten them in Texas. Those ribs in Kansas City were the best ribs I've ever had in my entire life. They were phenomenal. I thought about beignets in New Orleans. Anybody had a beignet before? It's basically just a donut, but it's been really good stuff. It was just phenomenal. They were awesome. They were fresh from the sack from this great place in New Orleans, deep fried, covered in powdered sugar. Amazing. I thought about wings. All right, I love buffalo wings, and I actually got a chance to go to the birthplace of buffalo wings in Buffalo, the Anchor Bar in Buffalo, New York. If you hadn't had a chance to do that, that's a pretty cool experience. They're really good, too, and that's one of the rare things where you found the original is still as good as that they first made it, because usually it gets kind of perfected after it gets started. But those things were awesome. They were crispy on the outside. They were juicy on the inside. They had just the right amount of heat. They were so good. But after all those great things I've had, I settled on tacos, which kind of seems mundane, but these tacos were really, really good too. And I thought about it. I said, man, tacos, especially the taco shell and a burrito, whatever you're doing, that's just another way of showing how versatile bread is, isn't it? I mean, how awesome is bread, right? You get a little bit of flour, you get a little bit of baking powder, some salt, some oil, some warm water, just mush it around a little bit, flatten it out, slap it in a pan, and you've got this beautiful, tasty blanket to hold whatever you want. It's just amazing, isn't it? So as I was reflecting on tacos, I remember this one trip that my family and I took to Texas. And we're going down to San Antonio, and throughout on the trip, it was about lunchtime, and we're around Dallas, and I said, man, I've heard there's a great place to have some tacos in Dallas. And so I tracked it back down, and it was supposedly on the reviews and everything I'd read and heard was some of the best tacos ever. So lunchtime. I'm like, man, it's off the beaten path a little bit, but this is vacation. I'm going to go out of my way to get some amazing tacos. And so we go off, and it's down way off the beaten path, and is down between some residential area and a business area, and the menu's all in Spanish. And not long after we get there, just everybody from the neighborhood is coming in. You see people in suits, and then workers, construction workers, and you see everybody just gathering around this little taco stand in the middle of Dallas. And I ordered, not knowing what I was ordering really, but I ordered it anyway because I kind of have a vague idea of Spanish. But I didn't really care. I was like, all right, it's got to be good. Any of it's going to be good. Let me just order whatever. And I waited patiently. And it took a little while to get it, but finally I get it. So I take it back and I'm eating it. And now here's the thing. I've eaten a lot of food, right? I've eaten a lot of tacos, right? And I was skeptical whenever I read this, like the best tacos ever. Okay. How good could tacos really be? You know, I know they're good, but how good can they really get, right? So I took one bite of that taco, and immediately I was like, this is the best taco I've ever had. It has blown away every taco ever had. Matter of fact, it was the perfect blend of spice and flavor, just wrapped in this little blanket of love. And it was just this amazing thing, you know, because those tacos, which were so simple, but yet so lovingly crafted, just became the standard. They were so good. Became the standard by which every taco I've ever eaten has been measured by since. Every single taco I've ever eaten has gone back. Are they as good as that one I had in Dallas? No, they're not as good as that one in Dallas, right? Every taco I've eaten, right? And that's, I think, what I found. Maybe it's a different experience for you. But what I found is that when you discover the best of something, that's typically what happens, right? You either consciously or subconsciously measure everything by that standard. But finding the best takes just that, doesn't it? It takes discovery. If I'd have never left here to travel to San Antonio on a random family vacation and read about something in Dallas and took myself out of the way to go get some tacos in Dallas, Texas, I never would have discovered these amazing, almost life-changing tacos in Dallas, Texas, right? You never know what you're missing until you branch out, until you try some new things, until you forge new paths and discover these new possibilities. And our faith journeys, I found, require that same desire for discovery. This morning, we're going to look at a text that describes a couple of different groups in the life of Jesus. And these are two groups that when they were drawn into discovering more about Christ, they react in two very different ways. And we're going to learn how we can learn from them. And it's all centered around this idea of bread. As usual, right? The whole Breaking Bread series is going to be bread involved, all right? So let's get into this morning. It's going to be Matthew 16, verses 1 through 12. If you have a Bible or Bible app or any of that, I encourage you to open up and read along with me. We're going to break it down verse by verse as we typically do. But let me set the stage. Let me give you a little context as we jump into this morning. At this point, when we're reading this story this morning, Jesus had traveled with his 12 closest disciples for a little while now, all right? They have seen, as they followed Christ, they'd seen some incredible miracles. They had seen him feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. We talked about that last week. They had journeyed with him. After that, they watched him heal the blind. They had watched him make the lame walk again. They had watched him make the mute to speak. And then again, after seeing all those crazy things, they get on another hillside, on another part of the lake, and there's 4,000 people gathered around, actually more than 4,000. And they feed 4,000 more people with just a little bit of bread and a little bit of fish. And so they're seeing all these incredible times, and it's just really remarkable experience in their lives as they see Jesus do crazy thing after crazy thing, right? Now, during this time, they also saw him debate with scribes and with Pharisees and with Sadducees, all the religious leaders of his time. And they marveled as he was constantly put to the test, but he always just knew what to say. It's one of those times where we open in this text this morning, all right? So let's look at this. It's Matthew 16, verses 1 through 4 as we begin here. I'm going to read verse 1. It says, "Now in the Pharisees and the Sadducees," again, religious leaders, people who are very important and kind of knew the scriptures, and they knew the law, they knew all the ins and outs, they come to Jesus, and they come to test him, and they asked him to show them a sign from heaven. All right, so by this point, these men have seen Jesus do some incredible things. They've seen him do miracles. They've seen him teach and preach to crowds. They've even lost debates to him multiple times. Yeah, they're persistent here, right? They seemingly want more assurance that Jesus is who he says he is, that he's the Messiah, that he is the anointed one who's going to save the people of Israel. So they say, hey, give us another sign from heaven, from God himself, and perhaps we're going to believe you this time, that you are who you say you are. Jesus says this in verse 2 and 3. He says, he answered them, when it is evening, when it gets dark out, sun's going down, you say this. You say, it'll be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it'll be stormy today, for the sky is red and threatening. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. In other words, for all your wisdom, and they had lots of it, at least in regards to human standards, you lack understanding. You think you know so much, and that's the problem. Your pride, your arrogance as to what you perceive is right and what is best in your mind has already blinded you to what you could possibly perceive and understand. So he knew. As they were asking for another sign, they said, give us a sign and we'll contemplate again. Are you really the one who is coming to rescue us and redeem this country, to save us from the Romans, to institute the kingdom of God? Are you really that one? Just give us another sign. But he knew that though they asked for one to believe in, that no matter what he did, it was never going to be enough. Never going to be enough. He'd already done more than anybody in the history of the world had done. And one more sign wouldn't be a reason for them to believe in him. It'd just be another excuse to reject him. So he says this, verse 4. He says, an evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign. But no sign will be given except the sign of Jonah. And so he left them and departed. So the only sign they were going to be given would be the sign of Jonah. Now, if you don't know what that is, essentially there's a lot more to this, but it's really his death, his burial, and his resurrection. That would be the one sign he would give them that he is who he said he was. Now, though these men have heard him make that claim that he was who they were looking for, and although he provided signs to back it up, he knew that nothing he would do to convince them, so he wasn't going to give them anything else. They couldn't receive him. They lacked a bunch of things. They thought they lacked evidence. They said, man, if we just knew a little more, we'd become more convinced of who you are, Jesus. If we were just a little more sure. But they didn't lack evidence. They lacked humility. They lacked humility. They had their walls up. They weren't interested really in discovering what they really needed because they believed they had all they already needed. There was nothing better than what they already had in their minds. And that attitude they had, they made them hard-hearted. They made them stubborn cynics. They couldn't see Christ and his teaching as the truth. They only saw an enemy instead. Now, Jesus recognized that in their lives, and when it was clear that they were more interested in debating and than learning, he just walked away from it. You see, those whose minds are made up through conscious unbelief refuse to believe even the obvious. So Jesus walks away from that group. That's the first group. The second group is the one who's listening to this conversation and is following him from place to place to place. Those are closest to him, these 12. So they get in this boat, they journey across the lake again, and they go back closer to the places where they fed the 5,000 and the 4,000, where they had broken so much bread and so many fish and fed so many people. And Matthew 16:5 says this. It said, when the disciples reached the other side, they had forgotten to bring any bread. They had forgotten to bring any bread. So here they are right back where they were a few days before. And just like those other times with the 5 and the 4,000, they had nothing to eat. They weren't prepared at all. So I imagine them huddling up as they gather to the other side of the lake and they get out and they realize that, hey, it's breakfast time and we have nothing to eat. I imagine the scene of something like the Three Stooges. Anybody watch the Three Stooges? Imagine. I love Three Stooges, by the way. Just a little pastor fun fact. One of my favorite things of all time. It is one of the best comedy trios ever. Comedy, period. This is some of the best comedy. Also, pastor family fun fact, my wife hates it. All right. So, at any rate, so I imagine this scene where the disciples come over to this other side of the lake and they're like, who brought the bread? Oh, I didn't bring it. Did you bring it? No, I thought you brought it. No, you brought it. And they're fighting each other about this bread, right? And they're arguing and arguing and arguing. And Jesus interrupts them. 16:6, Jesus said, and they said, watch and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Now, hold up here. Set the scene again. Here they are. Forgot the bread. Who brought the bread? Did you bring the bread? I didn't bring the bread. Why didn't you bring the bread? And they're fighting back and forth. And Jesus throws this line in. Have you ever had a friend in your life that always seems to be on a different level than you? Right? Every time you're having a conversation, I mean, like you're talking about the weather, or you're talking about cooking, or you're talking about fishing, and they pull something out of thin air that seems like really profound, but you have no idea what they're talking about. Yeah? If you don't have a person like that in your life, find one, right? Or better yet, be the one. That would be even better if you could be the one. Jesus was constantly doing this to the disciples. This was always his mode of teaching, right? Here they are, they're hungry. They're just wanting to get some bread to munch on, right? Their focus is totally on their bellies. They're like, who is, and they're arguing. They're just hangry at this point, right? They're just trying to find some food. And Jesus throws this line at them. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Now, as usual, they completely miss it. So as he throws that line back at them, they're like, okay. And verse 7 says this. It says, and they began discussing it among themselves, saying, we brought no bread. Like, <what? laughs> here we go. Who got the bread? I don't know. Where's the bread at? Jesus is like, hey, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And they come together like, we don't have any bread. How can we beware of something we don't have? Or you mean don't go buy from them? What are we talking about here, Jesus? But I don't know, but I'm really hungry right now. Can we please solve this breakfast problem so I can focus and think about what you're trying to teach me right now? All right? All 12 of them huddle up doing this crazy thing, right? It's just crazy. So here's Jesus trying to convey something really important. Really important. But they can't hear it. They can't hear it because their stomachs are grumbling too loud, right? So they continue arguing, continue talking, man, what's going on? What are we going to do? And verse 8 through 10 says this. He says, but Jesus, aware of this, all right, aware that they're ignorant, says this. Oh, you of little faith, why are you discussing among yourselves the fact that you have no bread? Do you not perceive? Do you not remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many baskets you gathered? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many baskets you gathered? In other words, do you still lack understanding? How are you still missing this? Don't you remember how just a few days ago, how we were all in the same position? You were hungry. The people were hungry. It had been all day. It wasn't even breakfast time. They hadn't had food all day long. And yet here we are. The problem was even bigger because there were thousands and not just a few of us here. And you were all panicking then too. And then what happened? And then what happened, right? You were given this small, seemingly insignificant offering, and I broke it. And as I broke the bread and as I broke the fish, there was so much to go around. You collected baskets, whole baskets of leftovers after thousands had had their turn eating. He had taken care of them time and time again. And yet here they are again, trying to trust in their own ability rather than relying on him. Who brought it? Did you bring the bread? No, I didn't. Who? None of them said, hey, Jesus, do you have any bread? Hey, Jesus, we're out of bread. Either can you give us some or can you tell us where to go get it? No, they're discussing it among themselves, right? Not one of them asked him if they had anything to give. Instead, they just grumbled and complained to each other about not having any. Here's the thing. When we forget what God has done, we worry about what we're going to do. There's so much emphasis throughout all the Bible on remembrance. They wrote down songs. They recorded history. They retold stories of God's power. They told about the strength and his faithfulness through generations, not because they were practicing religion, but because the basis of any relationship is trust, and trust requires remembering that all the things were worked out and taken care of time and time and time again. When we remember what Christ has done for us, and we daily give thanks to him for it, we're reminded he's going to come through for us again and again and again, just as he always does. But we settle into grumbling and complaining with one another first. We know who provides, and we'll even say it out loud. I've had these conversations. I've been the one who started these conversations of like, man, the budget's tight this week, the budget's tight this month. Yeah, I'd really wish diapers would cost less, or I could potty train the kids, we don't have to buy them, or whatever would happen so we could save some money around here, right? And I gripe and complain instead of going back to Jesus and saying, I need you to provide in a radical way. Not that I'm going to be a bad steward and just go out and blow all my money and not use it for the things I need, but I still don't go to you. but I settle for grumbling and complaining. Now Jesus, he's an awesome teacher. He packs so much into so few words, right here. And so he asks these questions. He says, do you remember what happened? This was just a few days ago. Do you remember what happened? But these questions, they're rhetorical, right? He knew that they knew what had happened. So it's not just about helping them remember. It's about causing them to understand the foolishness of their thinking. It's not just about, hey, remember, let me give you a friendly reminder. We've done this, been there, done that. Things were okay. Here we are again. It was going to be okay. We'll be all right. I'm going to take care of us. It wasn't just about recalling something. It was about pointing out, hey, genius. Hey, 12 geniuses. Think about what you're thinking. Think about what you're thinking. Right? He knew that they knew what had happened. It's not about remembrance. It's about the foolishness, right? They hadn't just forgotten Jesus' provision for them. They had forgotten that Jesus had provided for them. They hadn't just forgotten the bread. They had misplaced their trust. That's the issue. He addresses it right up front. He says, why is your trust in me so little? When you read, why, O ye of little faith. You may see that in other translations. Why is your trust in me so little? Jesus doesn't rebuke them for their lack of preparedness. He says, oh, come on, guys, we have been here. Do we not have a sack of bread by now that we're carrying around just in case for when we're all hungry, right? Why are you so foolish to not have things prepared and backed up and stored up for our time of need? He doesn't rebuke them for the lack of preparedness. He rebukes them for their lack of trust. This isn't a one-time issue. That phrase he uses, he says, why are you discussing among yourselves, is actually a present tense verb that could be better be said, why do you keep on endlessly discussing? Why do you keep on endlessly discussing? What are we so endlessly concerned about that God has the ability and the will to take care of it if we simply trust him to do it? What are we so endlessly concerned about when God has already said, I got this? I've done it. Don't just remember I've done it. Remember that I take care of you no matter what. Don't just be preparing. Trust me to take care of you. You see, you had to have complete trust in Jesus to provide for you. Otherwise, you'll always stay a slave to something that seems better but is actually lesser. Let me say that one again. You had to have complete trust in Jesus to provide for you. Otherwise, you'll always stay a slave to something that seems better but is actually lesser. Now, being the remarkable that teacher Jesus was and is, there's more. So many layers to this, right? It's not just about trusting him for material needs. He goes to make sure they have something else straight first. So he gets to this bigger point. He goes to this in verse 11, right? He says this. He says, how is it you fail to understand that I did not speak about bread? Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Like the crowds we discussed last week, the disciples that day, they were simply satisfied with him providing the material need. And here's the deeper thing I want us to grasp. This is the big, if you don't get anything outside of today's messages, we're getting closer to the end. Not close, but closer. That we focus on this. They were simply satisfied with him providing the material need. We're hungry, Jesus. Would it have been enough for them at that point to say, oh, we're hungry. Oh, shoot, let me go ask Jesus for some bread. That still wasn't the fullness of Jesus' point. That would have been good. That would have been better than them bickering, arguing, and complaining, but it wouldn't have been enough because that still isn't what Jesus is talking about here. They were so preoccupied with literal bread that their minds aren't open to more spiritual truth. He said, how is it that you fail to understand that I'm not talking about bread. I'm not speaking about bread this morning. Not the bread you're thinking of. You see, preoccupation with the mundane can keep us from understanding what God is trying to show us. And you know it because you've seen it. I know it because I've seen it. You've lived it. You're sitting here this morning as I have sat on the other side of this equation. And as you're listening to me talk about all these things, what are you really thinking about? You don't have to tell me. What I was thinking about was, is he ever going to shut up so I can go eat lunch? What do I got to do today? All right, after we eat lunch, I got X, Y, and Z I got to take care of because I got to go back to work tomorrow. And man, I don't know. Jen was mad at me last night because I did something wrong or said something wrong. How am I going to fix that? I got to apologize, and I don't like apologizing. And the kids are jumping around acting crazy, and I can't even focus on what this guy's saying because they're crying and upset and rolling around, and who knows what's going on. I got to keep shushing them, and everybody else is looking at me. You're thinking about a bazillion different things. Right? And we do this each and every single day we wake up. You wake up, and even if you do a remarkable job, which would be a very small percentage of you by just the standards and statistics that are out there, say you actually get up in the morning and you read your Bible and you pray. Say you actually do that. What happens after you do that is for most, even if you do that remarkable activity, which most don't do, your switch flips. And then as soon as you shut down that part of your life, you open up your other part of your life and you got your list of things to do for the day, and you're just overwhelmed by all those things. Preoccupation with the mundane can keep us from understanding what God is trying to teach us. That's why Jesus time and again would say in his teaching over and over and over again, multiple times over, he said not to worry about your needs. And not just because we are just to trust that God's got you. And that's good and that's valuable. But also because there's other more important things to give our time and attention to. If we're so focused on meeting the bread needs in our lives, we'll never focus on the more important things in our lives. And guess what? There are more important things in our lives. We run around. We try to accumulate enough money. We try to accumulate enough connections. We try to accumulate enough property so that we can be safe, so that we can have peace, so that we can get a taste of prosperity. And then we think, when I have time, I'll stop. And I'll read the Bible, and I'll reflect on who Jesus is or who he was, and I'll reflect on who he's calling me to be, and I'll reflect on what he's calling me to do. And time again, Jesus says, seek me first. Seek me first, and only then will you get what you are really after. Only then. He says all these other things. I love the fact that when you read that, he doesn't clarify what things. It's just all those other things, because those things are really unimportant. It's about Christ. It's about learning who he is, about who he is, about seeking after the kingdom of God. And he says, focus on me. You'll have all these other things. Here's a greater teaching. There's something else in this that you need to understand. Right? He reminds them, he says, I'll take care of your stomachs, but then he shakes them awake and says, there's something deeper going on here. I'm not talking about actual leaven or yeast in literal bread, guys. Right? There's something going on. The yeast and the Pharisees and Sadducees, that's their teaching. Their teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees was the leaven that he was warning of. The Pharisees and Sadducees, we just read about them, right? They were these hard-hearted cynics. They were people who seemed to have authority and power. They seemed to have it all figured out, and they had cut Jesus off because they had it figured out. There was no room for him in their thinking. But their arguments seemed persuasive. Their reasoning seemed sound. So they spoke with such conviction and with such wisdom that Jesus wanted his disciples to be on guard so they didn't fall for that same trap. Fall into that same attitude, fall into that same understanding, that same hard-hearted cynicism and pride and arrogance that said, I know what to do, I've got it figured out, and Jesus can come later, if at all. Yeah, I'll talk about him, I don't need to talk to him. You see, and I don't have it up here with me, I was going to bring my wife's yeast from home, right? She has a starter for sourdough and a couple other breads that she does occasionally. And the yeast in those days is very similar, right? You can get yeast out of a packet these days if you're making bread. But back in those days, what you would do is you take a piece of fermented bread dough that you had saved from the previous baking, and then you'd mix it into this small, you mix this very small amount of that into this bigger batch of fresh dough. And when he did that, it produces carbon dioxide and it releases in the bread and makes all those nice cool bubbles and makes it taste also very good, right? Jesus's point here was that the Pharisees and Sadducees' hard-heartedness toward Jesus was a small thing, was a small minority of people in the life of Christ and the life of the disciples, but could work its way into the hearts of even those that knew him best. In other words, beware pride, beware hypocrisy, beware cynicism, Beware following blind guides to unsatisfying ends. Instead, humble yourself. Place yourself at the feet of Jesus. Learn to trust him and uncover the best of this life by discovering who he is. Doing that requires some things. It requires reading the word every day. It requires getting into the actual Bible and actually breaking it open or opening up on your app and actually reading it, not just to hear the words or read words off a screen like you're reading a book of information, but to be transformed by those words. The literal word of God is living and active. It is not a passive thing we do when we read scripture. You ever wondered, maybe you've ever experienced this, whenever you read scripture and you hear the words of Jesus, and amongst other things, there's all of scripture, but especially the words of Jesus, and you hear him say things like, how is it that you fail to understand? And it's like, man, he's speaking to me. He's talking to me right now. It's because he is. Discovering who Jesus is requires reading the word every day. It requires hearing him fresh every day. It requires realizing he didn't just rise from the dead to leave you, but he is living and he is active in you when you trust and believe in him. And he isn't just calling you one time in your life to make one small change in your life, but he's drawing you back to him, not just so you'll change and be a better person, but to truly discover who you are by truly discovering who he is. Not was, is in your life now. When we're not pursuing that discovery of Jesus, what we're left with is we're left with doubt, we're left with worry, we're left with that cynicism, we're left with false beliefs, we're left with false teaching. We'll settle for, and sometimes even chase after, lesser bread. But thank God that Jesus is persistent. He didn't leave the disciples for their ignorance. He didn't even outright condemn them. Right? You saw the scribes, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, when they said, give me another sign. And Jesus said, you won't get another sign. I know who you are. You don't really want to hear from me. You don't really want to know anything about me. All you want is to justify yourself and reject me and think you've got it all figured out anyway. And so I'm not giving you anything. You'll see me when I'm resurrected. I'll see you tomorrow or the next day when we have this pointless debate over again, but I'm not going to sit with you. But with the disciples, he doesn't do that. He didn't just say, you guys, I'm not talking about literal bread, you dummies. Go find some breakfast. I'll see y'all another day. I'm tired of y'all. He doesn't say that. He doesn't. He's persistent. He chastises them. He says, have you no understanding? Come on, wake up. But he doesn't leave them there, right? He loves them enough to wake them up before they forget who they're following. Thank God for that. There are so many days while I'm waking up, I'm chasing after my bread for the day. And Jesus has to come back to me and says, wake up. Yeah, you may be full. Yeah, you may have got what you wanted to accomplish today done, but what did you really gain from it? Yeah, you checked your list off. Yeah, you got a little more money than yesterday. Yeah, you did all this, but did you seek me first? Did you see the kingdom of God first? Did you see your life transformed by me first? Did you see other people's lives transformed by your faithfulness to me as I worked in you? Or did you just go and get your fill for the day? Even if you just trusted me, even if you went started about your day and you trusted Christ, is that enough? Not if you're not using that trust to seek him more. That's Jesus' point. Thank God he's persistent. It says in verse 12, he says, then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of the bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. They finally get it. It finally clicks. The light bulbs go off one more time. This wasn't another simple teacher with good words for better living. This was the Son of the living God, the bread of heaven. He was worth more than anything else they could have found. And he says, seek after me. Seek the very best thing. And then everything else in your life isn't going to be measured by the standard of me. Everything else in your life will be less satisfactory when you discover who I really am, and you'll only want me. Every time you eat another mundane taco, you'll look for the best taco in your life. You always think about, man, that taco was amazing. Why is this taco not as good? That's what Jesus is after in your life with him. If you're not pursuing him and saying, man, this is the best thing in my life. This is the one thing that if I don't get to chew on anything else today, I need to chew on the word of God. I need the living word active and living in my heart. I need it to permeate every moment of my being. I need the bread of heaven before I need the bread of anything else. If that's not the key motivating factor in your life, Jesus says, you've missed the point. Trust me all you want for what your daily provision, but if your focus is your daily provision, you've done missed it. Thank God Jesus is persistent. And thank God he draws us back to a deeper knowing him, a deeper need of him, a deeper trust in him. And that's what it is. It's this journey of discovery of the best thing we've ever experienced. The question becomes, will we lay aside lesser things and have the humility and the courage to pursue the best thing? Now, if you're a seeker this morning, and you're looking from the outside, I pray, well, I know that if you're seeking, you're not like the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes. You're not, have already shut yourself off from Christ. You're not looking for something, but not really willing to accept it. You know there's something there. You might not know exactly what it is. You might not understand. Maybe you've had some really good tacos, but today I'm talking about the better taco, right? And you're saying that, man, that's what I need. Not tacos from Dallas, by the way, folks. Not literal tacos, right? Jesus. I need the Jesus, right? I need him in my life. And you're seeking after him. And if you're doing that, you're on that journey, and today you're ready to accept Christ. As we talked about last week, what Easter teaches us is that we are fallen, broken people who have messed some things up. That's called the sin that we have in us, that we are sinful people by nature. And that even though we are sinners, Christ came to live, die, and rose again to take on all of our sin for us, to forgive us, to give us eternal life, to be the bread that never stops satisfying. And all that it takes is to trust and believe in him. That's a key decision we have to make at one point in our lives, to trust and believe in him. And if that's you this morning, we're going to give you a chance to respond to that call. If it's not quite you yet, maybe you're like the disciples and you're a little slow, because I'm slow. And there's so many times I come to the Word and I come to Jesus, even though I profess to trust and believe in him as they did, and I'm still like, I don't know what you're talking about, Jesus. I'm kind of hungry right now. Jesus is persistently chasing you to a deeper understanding of who he is, because that is what's truly going to satisfy. Keep seeking after him. For believers, we talked about a Good Friday, about repentance, about realizing that we're following after our own version of what is good and that we need to turn back to God's definition of best. This morning is another perfect opportunity to do that again. Is it our chief desire to know more of Jesus, or is our chief desire to live comfortably? Let me ask you that one more time. These are things I want you to focus on. Is it our chief desire to know more about Jesus, or is it our chief desire to live more comfortably? Is our chief desire to walk alongside him in his mission to seek and save the lost as we once were lost, or is it to seek what's best for us? Because it's easy. It's so easy to get off track. It's so easy to get into the leaven of pride, to work our way through our life and miss out on that best thing. But today is a new day. And Jesus is calling us to know him again. The question is, will we? Let's pray. For those who are seekers again, I want to cycle back. I want to settle in on you for 1 second. If you want to respond to Jesus, to him calling out and saying, I am the best thing for you. I'm chasing after you. I'm waking you up. Wake up, old sleeper, for today you are made alive. And you respond to that call, you do it by prayer. And prayer is just communication with God. It's a heartfelt cry out to God who is already calling and drawing you out. And you can do it by saying these words. It doesn't have to be these words, but this heart moment with him, with words like these. Say, Dear Jesus, first, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, God, for all the things I've chased after. for all the things I have thought I had figured out, for all my pride, for all my arrogance, for all the things that I've shoved in front of the faces of others and saying, I know this is the best for me. And then today I hear, and not only hear, I know in my heart, I understand it with every fiber of my being, God, that you are the best thing. There, God, is nothing better than you, Jesus. Lord, and I hear today, God, that you have not rejected me, God, that you have not condemned me to eternal death, God, that you have granted me, forgiven me, and given me eternal life, that you have persisted after me, that you have chosen me, that you have called me to you. God, may I experience the best thing that is you, Jesus, and seek and live after or live for you like I have never done before. Now, if that's you this morning and you pray that prayer, I want you to take a few minutes to reflect on that, but I also want you to find me or Pastor John or who else. There's a few other people out in the back. There's so many people around us that want to connect with you and guide you on the next steps, because that's the first step on a long journey of discovery who Christ is. And for those of us who've been on that journey, let's pray this together as we close. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. God, I praise you that your mercy and grace extends to the ignorant. Father, for I am ignorant. God, I pray, Lord, that though we have all fallen short, that we do it daily, that God, we wake up and we don't chase after you. Lord, I don't. Not as much as you've called me to, but God, today you're persistently, continually calling me back in your love and saying, chase the best thing. Find me. Discover more about me. Seek me first. I'll take care of all the rest. I'll give you more than what you've asked for. I'll provide things you never even thought were possible, but chase after me as I have chased after you. Jesus, let that be on our lives. God, let that be a burning desire in each of our lives here today, God. And let it be such a desire, Lord, that we, every time we find ourselves wondering after something lesser, we'll always be tasting it and saying, man, but this isn't as good as Jesus. God, this is not as good as you are, Christ. God, let this be a draw, Lord, a burning desire on our hearts, God, that we are chasing after you above all things in our lives, God, above our spouses, above our children, above our budget, above every and anything in our life, you and you alone. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Well, thank you, church, for hanging out with us today. It's a little warm. Next week will not be as warm. Yay! I'm hot. I'm sweating up here, folks. All right. So if you're online and you're in your house and you're nice and comfortable, shame on you. No, I'm just joking. Thank you for being here. You want to come sweat off some pounds, come to church on a Sunday when it's hot like it is right now. But thank you for being with us for real. Appreciate you guys being online with us. Make sure you check us out next Sunday at 10 a.m. as we go to part 3 of Breaking Bread with Jesus. And I have another loaf of awesome bread here if you could be with us in person, or we can see it again online. Make sure you're sharing and liking and loving these posts and getting them out to as many people as possible and sharing the love of Christ, the bread of life, with others today and this week as we see. And we pray that you'll join us next time. Thank you.